right? I know some things I need to do. You know things that you need to do. You know things God tells you to do from the Scriptures. But sometimes it's hard for us to put forth the effort to get there. But I want to look at this tonight in chapter 21. We'll stand. I want to read about the first four or five verses here, if you will. And then we'll pray. And I pray that the Lord might help us as we endeavor tonight to speak for His glory and honor. The Bible said, "Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. And he had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah, and Jehiel, and Zechariah, and Azariah, and Michael, and Shephatiah. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel." Now notice this. Verse 3. "And their father gave them great gifts of silver and of gold," because he was a king, "and of precious things with fenced cities in Judah." Notice that. We done talked about the city of David. Now we're talking about Judah here. And he says, "But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram." And notice why. He said, "Because he was the firstborn." You see that? Verse 4. "Now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father," notice this, "he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with the sword, and divers also of the princes of Israel." He killed his brothers. And people who he thought was not a hindrance to him, but one who'll take over his business. Amen. "Jehoram was 32 years old." That's not very old. "When he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem." Now you can be seated. And then we'll pray. I want to look at something tonight. I pray that God might help us. Now we want to get something from this. These are good stories, reading all these things, but we need to get something from them. God didn't put this in here to take up space. He wants us to learn something from it. Father, give us wisdom tonight. Help us to understand the things of the Lord. I pray that Thy mighty power might be upon our mind and heart and soul. Lord, You might draw us close to You, that You might tonight, Lord, be able to take full control of our heart and life, and we'll be a witness, a testimony, a strength, an encouragement, a challenge to the people of God all around us. Lord, we do know tonight that we're in the last times. We do know tonight that You're still in charge. We do know tonight, Lord, that to be absent from the body here is to be present with the Lord. Father, we know tonight again that You are in full control. Not partial control, but in full control. Nothing happens without You allowing it. And Lord, we realize that tonight. And all of us in this building are subject, Lord, to the hand of God upon our life. And I pray today that we'll be where we need to be at the time we need to be it. And Lord, that we might stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Now have Your way in our life and heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I want to talk about Jehoram tonight, but I want to go back and mention something. A couple of weeks ago, I preached about Solomon asking God for wisdom. Then asking for houses and land and money and all that sort of thing, or length of days, the Bible said. But Solomon asked for wisdom to know how to do the things of God. And the Bible said because God knew and saw that Solomon didn't ask for all these things, He gave him those things, but He did give him wisdom. The first thing that many people ask me when I say that is, last week talked about that he married strange wives and they turned his heart away from God. You may ask the same question tonight. Why, if God knew, and He did know, you think God knew that Solomon's wives was going to turn his heart in the end? Sure. Well, if God knew that was going to happen, why did God make him such a great man before then? Why did he give it to Solomon and give it to somebody else? There's two reasons. One, God promised David he'd give it to his son. And secondly, God knows you and God knows me. And God knows that we can get lifted up. We're going to look at one tonight that's got lifted up. God knows that we can get lifted up and our end may be worse than our beginning. Amen. We may be shouting the victory tonight, praising God with the fullest of our heart. We may be close to God tonight, but we may die like Jehoram did. Whatever his name is. Jehoram. We may see how he dies. We're going to look at that tonight. And you see, God knows that. And God wants to let us know that we're weak. Just because tonight God has blessed you. And I've heard some testimonies of this tonight, and I appreciate it. And keep a giving them. Praise God. I hope the life's breath you draw is, God, thank you for all you've done for me all my life. Amen. I hope when you're ready to draw your life's breath, you can reach out to God and don't have to regret some kind of something in your life that you messed up in. Amen. Now, I know all of us have got things in our life we don't want to have to face God with. Many of us have got them. They're under the blood, and thank God they are. Amen. Appreciate that. And there's a lot of things that we wouldn't want everybody to know that we, because all of us are sinners before God. Amen. The blood has covered our sin. Not only covered it, but washed it away. And we praise God for that. But there's things that I have regretted that I allowed the devil and the world and the flesh to take charge in my life. Now, if you don't feel that way tonight, you're number one candidate for the altar right now. We don't need to give no invitation. You just need to get up and come on and get it done. And I'll keep preaching while you're getting it settled. All right? So we know tonight that we sin against God. And that's why God lets us have those. Now in chapter 21, I want us to go down and notice some things. And I don't know how many times I've read chapter 21 today out of the book of 2 Chronicles as God put this on my heart. Look at verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers. Notice that little phrase. That is a phrase that's mentioned so many times in the Old Testament. Certain king or a certain person or a certain individual, a certain man, certain woman, they slept with their fathers. That means they died as their parents did. That simply means tonight that they ended their life just like you're going to end yours. And the Lord's got your number. He's going to call that number. You're not going past that number. Remember that. All that's dying today, God knew before the mud seals of the world was ever laid that these people would not be living. Amen. You've all got a birth date in the flesh. You got a birth date in Christ if you've been saved, but you've got a day you're leaving this old world. Mark her down. You've got two of them behind you if you've saved. Amen. And you got one to face yet. Now let's go a little bit and look at this. Look at the phrase, slept with his fathers. I got that underlined in verse 1. And then I want you to look at the next one, and was buried with his fathers. That means wherever his fathers or his people were buried, that's where he was buried. You remember Abraham bought a place, a land, to bury his dead and his loved ones. And he buried Sarai. In that place, and he was buried there. And that's he slept with his fathers. And so we find, that's a phrase. I want you to keep that in your mind and put it back here. There's some things I want to say about that tonight. And was buried with his fathers. Notice the next little phrase, in the city of David. So he gives him the specifics of where he was buried. He was buried in the city of David. Now, we'll say more about this as we get down. Then it said, and Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, we read a while ago in verse number 2 that this fellow was jealous of the kingdom. He is jealous of his brethren. He is jealous not only of his brethren, but people that he worked with. He must not have had a whole lot of confidence in God. Amen. Now, when people are jealous of what people's going to do and get ahead of you and take your business and take your work from you, there's something wrong. Amen. I am what I am, and you're what you are, and nobody can touch you unless God allows you to be touched. The devil can do no harm to you or me unless tonight God allows it. Amen. So this man was jealous, you see it right off. Church folks are bad being jealous. We're going to get some little teaching tonight out of the Word of God here. Don't ever tonight think about somebody else going to get ahead of you. The best thing to do is sell yourself all to God. And I don't mean that word sell. Give yourself. Give yourself to God and allow Him to run your life. Take your dirty hands off of your flesh and off of your life and allow God to direct your attention and allow Him direct your mind. Let Him direct your body. Let Him direct every avenue of your heart and life. And you won't have to worry about if somebody's going to get ahead of you, if somebody's going to put you down, or if you're going to have to take the back row seat. But Jehoram had the little thought, my brethren, and I'll show you why tonight when we get out of here, why he had that in his mind. He didn't have the confidence in himself and the Lord. Now, there's one thing about it. We need to trust God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, amen, with everything we have. You don't trust the preacher. You don't trust the church. You don't trust individuals. You trust God. God is all you have to trust and all you need to trust. Now, other people can help you trust those, but you don't push it to the place that you think that they're getting ahead of you. Now, he just knew that when he become the king, that one of his brothers is going to rise up one day and take it from him. He didn't know which one, so he just killed them all. Put them all out of business. And that's what he said in verse number 2. He took their lives. And these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. So he's a murderer, is he not? Notice it, what he done. He did that in verse number 3. We find something else here happened here. And their father gave them great gifts of silver. The Bible said, and of gold and of precious things with fenced cities in Judah. Remember, Judah. Now we've got the city of David and we've got Judah. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. In the Old Testament economy, the firstborn had the right. You remember Esau was the firstborn. And Jacob, amen, tricked. Matter of fact, his mother and Jacob tricked, amen, the father. And so then what happened is Esau sold his birthright and Jacob took the position. That's why God said he loved Jacob and hated Esau. And that's a big message right there. And before you get out of kilter and get out of line, let me just throw this in. I'm not going to preach on that part. But just let me tell you, God hates nobody. God loves all. It just simply means that God's choice is Jacob and not Esau. Because he followed God and God picked that out. And there's a reason. He sold his birthright. I'm not into that tonight. But there's a message there. But he said he was the firstborn. Normally, the firstborn gets the charge. But we go to verse number 4, and he said, now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself. Didn't say nothing about God strengthening him. Don't ever try to strengthen yourself. I've tried to help myself out so much. I mean, the older I get, the more I find out I've just made a mess out of it. He's the one that can straighten me out and strengthen me. And so Jehoram, he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with the sword and divers also of the princes of Israel. Not only that, but I guess that was the friends of his brethren. That was part maybe of the family of his brethren. That was people that could be trusted. That Jehoshaphat, his father, even trusted. And so he's wanting to make sure there's nobody going to take his position. Now you see his security? Many people are trying to make their own security. Amen. That's right. I think that's the same thing that's happened to those people that's living in the Pentecostalism. They got to keep themselves saved, they think. And they got to do certain things to stay there and so that they'll be there. But I believe that tonight we're saved by the grace of God and we're kept by His power. Now, and we go look in verse number 5. It said Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign. He's just young, just a 32-year-old young man when he began to reign. And he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. He died at 40. Now, this man's got a short lifespan. Amen. Short lifespan. He didn't live long. And he was trying himself to make sure he was going to live a long time. You'd spend all your time, if you want to, trying to increase your days, and you'll look at things that the world says that you can increase your days with, but God gives long life through a few things, and he's made, you know, a point of that in the Word of God. One is loving you and honoring your mother and your father. Amen. And evidently, I don't believe this guy did. Amen. He couldn't have had much love for his father when he killed all his brothers. You believe that? Amen. A man that would kill all his brothers to stay in power would let me know there's not much to him. He's not real. And beloved, we'll see that happen all the time in our life. Now, let's go to verse number 6. And here we're going to get into some things he said. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. Now we've got the little phrase. He slept with his fathers. He was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And it goes on to tell us that he was a king. And it talked about Judah here. But look in verse 6. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. There's a phrase about that. Every time you find walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, if you're not careful, you'll think, boy, they were good kings if they walked according to the kings of Israel. But not so. Amen. He said, like as did the house of Ahab. Was Ahab a good king? God spoke and said in several places that Ahab was one of the worst. He did some of the most terrible things. And he married Jezebel. And Jezebel was a wicked queen. And it said, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. Now notice that. He had the daughter of Ahab to wife. Now you know where his central theme is. He stems out of Ahab. You see in this? Through his wife's side. He had a good father. But he married a bad wife. Just plain and simple here. And he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now, Queen Jezebel was wicked. She controlled Ahab and she taught her daughter the same kind of lifestyle. And so Jehoram had to put up with that. In verse number 7, just keeping that in mind, he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. That's deceiving if you're not careful and begin to look at it. When it talks about walking in the ways of there are in the, you know, the way of the kings of Israel, you'll think, hey, that's good. That's good. No, that was the wrong side. You remember the kingdom has been split. Solomon, it got split into the northern and southern kingdom. And we got the kings of Judah, and we got the kings of Israel. And so we got those problems. There's a division. One's on the good side, one's on the bad side. And sometimes those that are on the good side got on the bad side. And that's tough. And it went vice versa every once in a while. Every once in a while, one of the bads would be good. Not often. Then we go a little bit further. In verse number 7, it said, howbeit the Lord would not destroy the house of David, because of the covenant that he had made with David, and as he promised to give a light to him and to his sons forever. The first thing that comes to my mind when I read verse 1 down through verse number 7 is, why did God allow him to do evil? Why did he allow him to do that after he killed his brothers? That's a terrible sin. Killing your own brethren, your own flesh. Matter of fact, killing anybody, whether it be an aborted baby or whether it be a man or a woman on the street. That's terrible. God don't look on murder in a light degree. It's always, and you're going to find that God is going to pass some judgment here. Why did he allow so long? Why didn't he go ahead and just take Jehoram out? Because he had made a covenant with David in verse number 7, that he had made with David, and as he promised to give a light to him and to his sons forever. You remember, this is one of the sons that come off the side of David through Jehoshaphat. And so God is honored. If God makes a covenant, that's why I praise God tonight, that I'm saved and sealed to the day of redemption. I don't have to worry about losing salvation because I'm saved. God's made a covenant or a promise with me that I'm His forever. That's enough to shout off of just to think it about tonight. I don't worry about losing what I've got. Amen. Somebody said, I just want more of it. I wish I could get more of it. Amen. But I want more of what I got, don't you? I want at least get deeper and stronger and more faithful, more powerful with God. I want to get closer to Him than I've ever been. Amen. And my problem is I don't want to pay the price. All of us can, but we won't. Now, look at verse 8. In his days, the Edomites revolted from under the dominion of Judah. All right, we talked about Judah. Just a minute, mention him. We've talked about, in verse number 3, Judah. And now we talked about Israel. And it said, the Edomites, he said, they revolted. That goes against them from under the dominion of Judah and made themselves a king. So they made themselves a king. And then it says, then Jehoram went forth with his princes and all his chariots with him. And he rose up by night and smote the Edomites, which compassed him in, and the captains of the chariots. Now, you might know he'd do this. If he'd kill his brothers, he'd kill anybody else that he would think would be a threat to him. And so that's exactly what he does. So keep this in mind. Verse 10. So the Edomites revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. The same time also did Libnah revolt from under his hand because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. That's a bad statement to have to say about somebody, and God said it. He forsook the God of his fathers. We're watching a nation tonight that has forsaken the God of our fathers. Some of God's people, some of the choicest people that you and I have met down through the years that love God, they'd turn over in their grave if they had the opportunity tonight to see how America has come to place. Matter of fact, three times in the last week, I've heard somebody in the public say, I would never have believed that I'd ever see our nation go where it's at. That's three people in the last week. I've had a lot more than that say that, but I'm talking about three people in the last week. And people are saying that. Matter of fact, I heard one say that today even. And I'm saying to you, brother, it's terrible to look at. So we find that there was a revolt from under his hand, and they wanted to come out of that. Verse 11 said this, moreover, he made high places. What's the high places? That's where they worship their false gods with their false religions. And they said, in the high places, in the mountains of Judah, and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication and compel Judah thereto. They're trying to turn the people of God. And fornication is something God has condemned all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And so he's saying to them here, that's what's going on. But now we're going to look at the little verses from 12 to 15 and tie all this in together. Here's Jehoram. And there came a writing to him from Elijah, the Tishbite. Here it says the prophet, but it's the Tishbite, saying, "Thus saith the Lord God of David, thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat, thy father, nor in the ways of Asa, king of Judah." Because you've not walked according to your father. He's getting a writing. He's getting some rebuke. He's got the man of God on him and against him. He's getting a writing. Amen. You ever wonder why the preacher preaches certain things out of the Bible? You're getting a writing. Amen. That's what this Bible is in his writings. Writings of God. Then he says this in verse 13, "But hast walked in the way of the kings of Israel." There's that phrase again. Walk like the kings of Israel. "And hast made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a-whoring, like the whoredoms of the house of Ahab. And also hast slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself." Look at that little phrase. God said in a minute, "You killed your brothers, but they're better than you were." I tell you, don't ever get to the place you think you're too high. Don't ever get to the place that you think you're higher than you think you are. That's why God wants us to walk in humility. That's the reason God wants us to be humble. Amen. We need to recognize ourselves as a nothing, a nobody. Just as Paul said, "I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God. I'm least among the people of God." That's the attitude I want to have this year. That's the attitude I want to have the rest of my life. I'm one of the least of God's choicest people. Amen. And I believe that when I think about it, you think, "Well, I'm better off than so-and-so." Get that out of your mind. 2022 won't be much good for you if you're going to think you're better than anybody. Amen. You said, "What about..." When I heard what Troy said tonight, I'm sitting there thinking, amen, right on target to what I'm saying. Don't you think tonight you see somebody, I don't care if they're deep in sin, don't think you're better than they are. Because you got the wrong attitude. You said, "Well, I'm going to heaven, they're going to hell." Well, amen, I praise God that you can say that. But if it wasn't for the grace of God, no telling what you'd be doing tonight, or if you'd already be in hell. I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. I'm a little old country boy on the side of the road, amen, that one day heard the gospel call and came running. Thank God I give God the praise. Now, he said this, "which were better than thyself." This is what the prophet, the man of God, said. Jehoram, you did not walk in the ways of Judah. You walked according to the kings of Israel. You didn't follow God. You forgot God. You went after the whoredoms and the fornications and tried to... Not only did you do that yourself, you tried to get the people of God to do it with you. What a bad testimony you had. He said, you're awful. In the sense of what he's saying. He said, your brothers is better than yourself. Verse 14, "Behold, with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people and thy children and thy wives and all thy goods." Now, I'm going to say some things tonight. You're probably not going to agree with me, and it don't really matter. I've been in the Word of God a long time. God knows you're down sitting and you're uprising. You may have perfect health tonight and got everything covered, and your heart's as wicked as Jehoram, and you may die a bad death because God knows how to get to you. If you're going to be like this man, I'm not saying he is saved. I'm just saying you're going to be like this man. Look what he said in verse 14. "Behold, with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people and thy children and thy wives and all thy goods." God said, "I'm going to cut you off." Now, when God determines He's going to cut me off or cut you off, amen. You might as well get on your knees and get it all ready and go by the funeral home and make everything right. Because God takes you out of here, He's going to take you out of here when He gets ready for you. Amen. I believe God's people want to go out of here and in a blaze of glory. Amen. Don't you? I trust when I'm a dying, I can say glory to God. I see the Lord and going home. Now you watch this. The Bible said in verse 15, "And thou shalt have great sickness by disease of thy bowels, until thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day." Now, a lot of preachers won't preach on things like this. But he said, what's going to happen is your bowels are going to fall out. You're going to have a sickness, and he'll tell us some more about that in just a minute. You'll find out it happened. "Jehoram, I have not forgot you killing your brethren. I have not forgot that you killed some people around you that were God's maybe choice people. And you killed your brothers that were even better than you, so you could make sure you stayed in power." That's one of the things I've noticed down through the years in preaching in churches. Preachers like that power. Amen. Not only just preachers, everybody likes it. They like that power. Amen. And if you don't believe it, you look in, and I'm not against it. I love law enforcement. But a lot of times, certain ones, you put them in power and law enforcement, and it goes to their head. And they end up being crooks. I know some tonight that are involved in things that's shady. And they're in law enforcement. And you couldn't touch them. Amen. You couldn't touch them because the law enforcement knows they're involved in it. That's a big statement to have to back up, but don't make me push too much on that, all right? But I'm telling the truth. And you probably know some of that too. But as I look at this, he said in verse number 16, "Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines." Now God can stir somebody up against you. And you may think you're all right where you are. But when God sends something about to stir you up, that's what He's actually wanting to do. Stir you up. Why would God want to stir me up or stir you up? For two reasons. He may want to stir me up so I shout to victory. But He may want to stir me up, amen, to let me see I'm on the wrong side. And He's wanting me to get things right. I get stirred every once in a while. I say lots of times, I feel sorry for some of you folks who get the glory, and you're going to look around and, amen, and you're going to wonder, oh, how am I supposed to act here? It's out of your environment. Amen. Well, I'm not going to get caught off guard. I'm practicing every day. It said, "And of the Arabians that were near the Ethiopians," verse 17, "and they came up into Judah and break into it and carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house, and his sons also and his wives, so that there was never a son left him save Jehoahaz, the youngest of his sons." So the devil's stirred up. The Lord's done it. God's allowed the devil to do it. Now, we find the crux of the whole story and the climax of it in verses 18 down through 20. And after all this, after God done stirred up to get his attention and all that, and after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease. Now, it's not, we shouldn't look at everybody that dies with an incurable disease. God's got to take us all out of here somehow. Amen. But God told this man He is going to take him out with that. The Bible said in verse 19, and it came to pass that in the process of time after the end of 2 years, when you got trouble with your bowels, and he said his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness, so he died of sore diseases, and his people made no burning for him like the burning of his fathers. I'll explain that in a minute. What happened? God's judgment fell on Jehoram. And he lived, or not lived, but he died a painful death. It was not peaceful. I believe when he laid there and went through this for the last 2 years of his life, he thought about the brethren, his brothers, that he had taken the life of. He had thought about the good friends that he had and his father had, Jehoshaphat had before he killed them. I believe he thought about those he tried to lead into fornication and whoredoms and try to steer them in the wrong direction. I believe all this come home to him. And his people made no burning for him like the burning of his fathers. He slept with his fathers. He is buried with his fathers. Read that in verse 1. But notice here that he didn't have a burning like his fathers. In other words, there was no big thing going on. He didn't die in the prime glory of life. Look at verse 20. 32 years is a repeat of what we already read. Old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. Notice this. You have a life of sin, God will bring it home to you. Be sure your sin will find you out. Don't put on. Don't dress up something. Don't cover up any sin. Make sure you've got an open life with God. Nothing like it. The Bible said, and departed without being desired. Nobody could care. Everybody could care less that Jehoram had died. Have you ever seen this? And I know this is true. Have you ever went to the funeral of somebody that you know died? You worked with them. You'd known them for a long time. You'd had dealings with them. Go to the funeral home, and it's just a mighty few right there at the funeral home. Have you ever went to the funeral of somebody that's very popular, very well known? And they don't always have to be good people. But I'm talking about somebody that had a testimony in the community that, let's just say a preacher, for instance, that's been a preacher that's stood for the truth down through the years. And you go to that funeral and what you see? You see people coming in. What? They didn't depart not being desired. Amen. I want to live my life, and I don't, look, when I'm gone, I'm gone. When I'm out of here, I'm out of here. I'm in the, you say, is it bothering? No, not at all. The best is yet to come. Trust me. But I do. And I know people ought not to weep over me and weep over you, but I hope somebody does. Amen. I hate to know, said, did you hear about the old preacher up at Bible Way Baptist Church? He died. Good riddance. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope that don't happen. Amen. And departed without being desired. Howbeit they buried him in the city of David. Now look here. Here's what I wanted to show you in the first part. He was buried in the city of David, but not in the sepulchers of the kings. Now go back and study the kings before all these, and after them, if you will. But in 1 Kings, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. When kings died, they buried them in the city of David, or the city of the kings.
But if they were important and stood for God and they were special, they were buried in the sepulchers of the kings. And this man didn't make it there. God cut him off short. Now you said, preach, that just happened that way. No. God laid it out straight here in the Word, didn't He? Amen. I want to be on the right side. Now that's just taking one little old chapter out of 2 Chronicles. And if one of them's in there like that, and you ought to just spend a little time looking at one of them. Amen. You said, I can read all that and don't get all that. Well, read it again. You said, I've read it twice. Read it again. You said, I've read it a half a dozen times. Read it again. It'll dawn on you after a while. Them little words, A and the, with, for, all that start jumping out at you, slapping you on the side of the head. And you begin to see this thing. And God will help you with it. God put all this in the Bible to help me. God put all this in the Bible to help you. God put that in there to remind us that if we walk in the footsteps of Jehoram, we're going to end up like him. Now, I don't want to end up like him, do you? Heads bowed. Thank you for coming tonight to the house of the Lord. Thank you for being here.